This Nectar Devotion class. We're discussing Nectar Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verse by verse with the commentaries of Sri Jiva Goswami and Srila Prabhupada. So this is verse number... we discussed yesterday Satyavakya, a person who speaks truth. So Krishna is extremely true. He always upholds his word, which means he never breaks a promise. He promised to Kunti... The example that's given is he promised to Kunti to bring back her five sons from the Kurukshetra war without being killed. And he did. So he kept his promise and kept his word as his promise. Your promise is your word. But in Kali Yuga, promises are made today and broken tomorrow. I promise to pay you back if I borrow this 50 lakhs. And then that's that. So this is these days you can't really trust anyone too much. So there's another, and then the example as a Brahmin, he told the truth when he was inquired. I think this is quality 9, Priyam Vad. I don't think we discussed this. It's Vad, of course, means speech, and Priya means very dear. So Priyam Vad, Jane Krita Paradipi Satwa Vadi Priyam Vada. Speaking in a pleasing manner means speaking in a pleasing manner, even to those who have offended one. So this is, someone offends you, or ridicules you, or criticizes you, rather than speaking harshly in reply to them, then one still maintains his equal poise and speaks in a pleasing manner. Occasionally, we as devotees, maybe all of you had the experience, of meeting some other god sister or god brother whom you know they're related vaguely because they're god brothers or god sisters, but you've heard from others that they may be speaking badly about you or saying something about you negatively behind you, and you know that, and it's quite proven fact, but then you come to meet them or you see them here and there, and you forget all about it. Forgive and forget. And you speak in a very pleasing, cordial manner. Not like, oh, Hari Bol. You, yeah, okay, Hari Bol. Yeah, say my baby, yeah, okay. It's like, okay, that's destiny. Some people like you, some people don't. What can be done? Prabhupada says, a person who can speak sweetly, even with his enemy, just to pacify him, is called a pleasing talker. And there's this verse, Krita Vyalike Pina Kundalindra Toya Videya Maito Shadrishti Pravasyamano Si Sarachitanam Paramhita Yadya Gavam Kulasya. This is Vrindavan Sri Krishna addressing Kaliya Sar. During the snake Kaliya. O king of snakes, though I have afflicted you and caused you much pain by my dancing, please do not find fault with me. For the good of the cows, worthy respect by the devatas, you should live far away from here. So that's the translation. Prabhupada renders it, this verse like this. This is Rupa Goswami's verse to elaborate, to cite an example. This is he gave the theory, now he gave the practice. He gave said he's pleasing. This is the praman. Here's an example of Krishna speaking in a very pleasing manner, even to someone who's offended him. And then Jiva Goswami gives some commentary on this. Prabhupada translates the verse in this way. He said, my dear king of snakes, although I have given you so much pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. It is my duty to protect these cows of Braj, which are worshipped even by the demigods. Only in order to save them from the danger of your presence have I been obliged to banish you from this place. So Prabhupada kind of elaborates it quite a bit. Like this translation said, for the good of the cows, worthy respect by the devatas. So he basically, this translation is saying that Krishna is saying, you should leave this place and go far away. That will be good for my cows. And the devas, the demigods, will respect you. And then Prabhupada sees it in a different way because, as I said, that translation depends on basic externals of knowledge, of vidya, Sanskrit vidya, kavi and itihas, and of vyakaran, grammar and poetry. So many elements of Sanskrit one can learn externally in the acquirement of Sanskriti vidya. But ultimately, when we're talking about rasa shastras and translating the words of rasacharyas, then one has to translate his knowledge, basic Sanskriti vidya, his knowledge of Sanskrit has to be processed through the filter of his bhav. If he has bhav, if he's on a level of bhav. And ideally, the translator of rasic shastras should be on a level of bhav. So then the translation will be what is called bhav drishti. He's very clearly seeing this. And then because Prabhupada gives it quite a different angle. Krishna is telling Kaliya, it is my duty to protect these cows which are worshipped even by the demigods. So here the emphasis is on the cows are being worshipped, and this translator is saying, if you want to be respected by the demigods, you should best get the hell out of here. Again, when people are on the street fighting, one guy to incite the other one says, listen, if you want to keep your teeth, your teeth where they are, then you should take a walk. Otherwise, if you want to wear dentures, then stay here. Which means I'm going to knock your teeth out. These are some American shlokas that we heard when we grew up. Because my brother was he's very tall, 6'4", 6'3", and he was always getting in fights. And then they would challenge me too, and I would run away. There are further verses cited here to explain this beautiful quality of Sri Krishna, Priyamvada, speaking in a very dear, Priya, very dear and pleasing, satisfying way, even to his enemies. Someone is trying to kill you. The Kaliya snake is trying to kill Krishna relentlessly and bite him and poison him and finish him off. And Krishna is saying, oh, please don't mind, but I would like you to vacate the premises so that you leave this place to benefit my cows, which are worshipped by the demigods, and it would also be very good for you. Next quality is quality 10, which is called Vavaduka Shutir Preshtotir Alkila Vagunanvita Vagapi Iti Dvidha Negadito Vavaduko Manishibi. The wise say there are two types of eloquence. It's called eloquence. Does anyone know the definition of eloquence? The word eloquence in the Chaitanya Charitamrita given by Krishnadas Kaviraj? Krishnadas Kaviraj defines eloquence as essential truth spoken concisely. Chant before you die. Whatever, I mean. So this is like you summarize everything. That's just kind of like a brief instruction, but it's a good one. You summarize everything. So Krishna, this quality is that. It says there's two types of eloquence. One is speaking, which is pleasing to the ear, and the other is speaking with clever meaning. So Prabhupada He translates this, he's translating his eloquence as speaking pleasingly and cleverly. Eloquence means speaking, this translation is saying, eloquence means it's a quality. It's in other words, it's not that everyone has the quality of eloquence in their speech, but some rare individuals have this quality of speech. It's a quality of Krishna, Krishna Gunam. They have the quality of eloquence. So here they're defining eloquence as what they say is very pleasing and very clever, with very clever meanings. In a few words, so many clever meanings are woven there and compacted there. And Prabhupada translates this quality not as eloquence, but as fluent, to mean be proficiency or expertise in language. Prabhupada defines, a person who can speak meaningful words, and with all, in other words, this, all these together make the quality of Vavaduk. Vavaduk means fluent. So what is that? He says this is one person has all this. He speaks meaningful words with all politeness and good qualities. It's called Vavaduk. Whereas he's saying this translation is two types of eloquence. I guess a person can also, two types of it in a person, probably just combining the two, say the two are in one. You take the two because one person can have both. And then he's speaking like that. When Krishna, this is the example, which is a translation of the verse. Okay, so that's that. So now there's an example, speaking in a pleasing manner. That's one of Krishna's qualities. This is spoken by a village cowherd man who was captivated with Krishna's preaching. Krishna was preaching during the Govardhan ceremony before the whole Leela. He was this Indra Puja. He was preaching to his father, Nanda Maharaj, about what's the point, why do this? Why worship Indra for so many different reasons? And then he said, ultimately we should worship the Brahmanas, Giriraj and the Brahmanas, by the blessings of the Brahmanas and by the practical gifts of Giriraj, lush grass and beautiful lakes and rivers and fruit trees and all these beautiful gifts. The cows and we coward boys are thriving wonderfully and nicely by the mercy of Govardhan and the blessings of the Brahmins who are living with us and regularly guiding us and blessing us and performing our rites and rituals and sanskaras. Indra, we don't see him, we don't know. He's such a fool. He's pouring rain on the ocean. The rain comes from the ocean, he throws it over there. The ocean gives the rain not to take back it for itself. Like the cow gives milk not to drink it, otherwise you just turn around and drink it. Right? The cow just turn around and drink her own milk. She gives the milk for the use of others. The ocean gives water to the clouds to give to the use to the land. It's the friendship between the earth and the water. Earth and water have friendship. You give gifts to your friends. So brother, brother ocean gives his water to sister Bhumi. It's like this. So he's stupid. So he's not very, it's not, and the ocean's not worshipping him. And so much water is falling there, so what need? So someone was, one village coward man was hearing this. So then spoke to one of her friends, she said, Ashlishta komala padavali manjilena pratyakshara sharara amanda sudhara sena Sakya samasta janakarna rasayanenha na hari kasiridiyam haribashitena. All friends, whose heart would not be stolen by the words of Krishna? In other words, he speaks in a heart-stealing way. And what are the qualities of the words? Coward man says, his words are sweet with clear, soft pronunciation, an elixir of intense nectar in the placement of each syllable, a medicine giving life to the ears of all people by its sweetness, sweet intonations. So he's saying Rasayana, Karna Rasayana. Sakya, Sakya Samasta Jana, Karna Rasayana. It's a Karna ear, it's a Rasayana, Haribasha, Ridiyam Haribasha Tena. It's a very beautiful verse by Rupa Goswami to describe. And then Prabhupada gives a translation here. When Krishna politely bade his father, Nanda Baba, to stop the ritualistic offering of sacrifice to the rain god, Indra, a wife of one village coward man became captivated by his talk when Krishna was speaking. This Sakhi later described the speaking of Krishna to her Sakhis. And she said, Krishna was speaking to his father so politely and gently that it was as if Lala, Nandalal, were pouring nectar into the ears of everyone present there. After hearing such sweet words from Krishna, who will not be attracted to him? So this, you can see that Prabhupada's translations are, they both have their speciality. The translations in this book produced by our very learned and erudite godbrother, Pujipad Srila Bhanu Swami Maharaj, it's also accurate. It's very, by Sanskrit and construction, it's very accurate and specific. But the flavor, the ras, when people read books in English, and then they read the same book in Hindi or Bengali, they say, oh, there's so much ras in Hindi and so much ras, so much flavor. And we think, what is that? Language is language. But we English-speaking people, or those who know, let's say, English, we can see there's also ras in English language. It's flavor, taste. And so this is the same. This is like you take this verse in the Sanskrit, so this would be the English. Well, this is Hindi. So see the sweetness of this English compared to this English. So that's like the sweetness of Hindi versus an English translation. Do you follow? So we can see by comparative translations a relative degree of sweetness. So what is, although the meaning is preserved, sometimes there's a slight slant or a different emphasis on the meaning, but the elements of the meaning are the same. Prabhupada talked about the demigods, and this translator talks about the demigods, and it talks about Kaliya and the cows, but Prabhupada took the demigods to refer to the cows, worshipping the cows, and this translator took the demigods in a previous verse to refer to Kaliya should leave so the demigods don't disrespect him. So all the elements are there. So any translator can take the elements and translate them. Then how they interact with each other and what is the actual flow of ras between one element and one person, that takes the higher and higher consciousness. So this is actually the speciality of Prabhupada, at least in this comparative study, and there may be others that would have to be seen. He says in text 2.174, Prativadi chitta parivritti patur jagat eka samshaya vimhardakari pramitakshararadya ivardarta mai harivagiyam mama dinotidhiya. An example of skillful meaning of words. Because he said eloquent, there's two types of eloquence. One means pleasing to the ear. And he gave an example how someone appreciated Krishna's pleasing talks to Nanda Baba during the Indra Yajna. And then the other aspect, second characteristic of eloquence, is clever meaning. So now he gives an example of a skillful use of words, a clever presentation of words. And this is the that verse that I recited. This is the translation. This is Uddhava Mahashaya glorifying his Lord Krishna. The words of my Lord Krishna skillful at changing the hearts of his adversaries, means enemies, superior to all and distinguishing all doubts in the universe, authoritative and economical, endowed with many meanings, those words of Krishna have today made all my mental functions blissful. So just hearing his Lord Krishna speak to him created all these effects. It changed his heart, removed his doubts, and established a very bona fide authoritative presence in his heart about Krishna's teachings. There were very few words spoken with many meanings. And as a result of hearing all these qualities of Krishna's speech, my mind has become very blissful, very happy. I'm satisfied. My mind was disturbed by some doubts or some, but now hearing these words, my mind is very peaceful. So how Uddhava is appreciating these eloquent words of Krishna, these clever words of Krishna, and by hearing those words, he's having such a wonderful result on his mental quantum. The wonderful result is he becomes blissful in his mind, and that's where happiness and bliss is experienced anyway. If you cut the senses connection to the mind, the senses may be doing everything which is ordinarily bliss producing, but there's no happiness or joy being experienced, even though the senses are in contact with the sense objects. But if the nerves are cut to the mind, there's no experience of the sensation. And no interpreting that sensation to be pleasurable and acceptable or unpleasurable and rejectable. Sankalpa vikalpa. So how can we have this same experience where all our mental functions become blissful, like Uddhava is describing by hearing the words of Krishna? How can we have that same experience? By hearing Krishna's words. Krishna spoke to Uddhava, yes? And he's remarking on the effect of his words, yes? So are Krishna's words still available? Where? Has anyone heard of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita, that's the words of Krishna, yes? So if we, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, full of Krishna's instructions, like Uddhava Gita, where he's speaking Uddhava. So Uddhava is replying, oh, I've heard this Uddhava Gita. I've heard this Uddhava Gita from the mouth of my Shiksha Guru, my friend and teacher. And as a result, all my doubts, and all, not only all my doubts, but all the doubts in the universe are removed. And they're so authoritative. Now I feel so blissful. So if we read the Bhagavad Gita, we'll feel blissful and remove our doubts. If we read the Bhagavatam, we'll feel blissful and remove our doubts. If we read Uddhava Gita, and we'll have the same experience as Uddhava. Uddhava is a devotee, and he's hearing the words of Krishna. Arjuna is a devotee, and he's hearing the words of Gita. And Krishna asks him, Are your samshaya, are they removed? Now are all your doubts removed? And then Arjuna says, yes, by your clear words, by your expert, skillful, clever presentation of philosophy, and I have a full understanding of karma, jnana, yoga, and I understand bhakti, and now I feel very happy, I'm very blissful, because when I'm happy and blissful, I can function nicely. When my mind is joyful and blissful, then I can function nicely, which means my senses will work. So my mind was crippled. My mind was crippled with fear and doubt about duty and some confusion, so many doubts. To kill my relatives or to fight with my grandfather or my teacher doesn't seem proper. But now, so my mind was not happy, was disturbed, anxious. So I couldn't, I dropped my bow. If your mind isn't happy, you can't hold your bow. He's Gandiva Raj. He holds the bow. It said it slipped from his hands. Because his mind was slipping. His mind was not peaceful. When the mind is peaceful, the mind is joyful. Okay, I'm ready. I'm excited. Let's do whatever we have to do. So when we chant proper nam japa, with absorption and the mood of surrender and prarthana, and repentance. Remembering our past and repenting over that. And a mood of prayer, praying for perfection, praying for mercy, and praying for the revelation of the holy name. And surrender to the sound vibration and to the dictates of the mantra. Then we become very encouraged and we become very happy. Sukhaman. Our mind becomes very happy. Then after we finish chanting, which we've been begging Radha and Krishna for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, however many hours we've been chanting, we've been begging them that I am associating for 3 hours with Radha Govinda Yugal and chanting your holy names. And I'm associating in your sound vibration. But I want to associate with you personally, Sakshat. I want to render personal service to you. And I'm inspired. But until then, I have this material body. I don't have a sarup. I can't enter the seva in my sarup because I'm not in my spiritual body. But I'm in this physical body. So now I finish my rounds and I want to serve you. Well, where are you? Well, you're in your devotees. You're in your deities. You're in your devotees. You're in my guru. So when you become very blissful in mind, and when your mind is blissful, you become very excited, enthusiastic to serve guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna. And if you're not, that means your chanting stinks. It stinks. It's not chanting. You're wasting your time. It's a fact. If you finish chanting your rounds and you feel like going to sleep, then you were sleeping already. Chanting means, you know, being plugged into the powerhouse. If you're plugged into the wall, no electricity is coming, something's wrong with your connection. Wires cut. Okay, I finally got that done. What's breakfast? After you finish chanting, you don't feel like eating, you feel like serving. Eating is bhoga, enjoyment. Think, oh, I have to take breakfast. I just want to go serve. I want to go on sankirtan. Oh, we have to eat. Okay. That's real chanting. When seva takes priority over bhog. The soul doesn't need food or water or anything. It needs seva. Sevan mukhe jivado swayamai vasvaratyada. Jiva Goswami's, these are the words of Uddhava. The first line is shows his skill in satisfying others, skillful at changing the hearts of his adversaries. The second line shows Krishna's skill in logic, superior to all in extinguishing doubts. The third line shows Krishna's skill in speaking truth, authoritative, it says, backed by Shastra, Praman, Pramita Akshara. That says, Rupa Goswami is saying Pramita Akshara. Means measured words. He's not wasting words or authoritative words. He uses colorful meanings of words while arguing, reasoning, and concluding. The fourth line shows Krishna's skill in creativity or imagination, that he makes all the mental functions blissful. Okay, tomorrow we'll start with another quality. Supandita. Supandita. He's a very great exalted pundit. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki, nectar devotion ki jai.